This edition of the Optimize We podcast is brought to you by the Biohacking Index. Visit biohackingindex.com for ratings and reviews of your favorite wellness solutions and wellness providers.
This podcast is for informational purposes only. We are not medical professionals and do not provide medical advice. Consult a healthcare provider for any health concerns. Opinions expressed are not a substitute for professional medical guidance.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Optimize We podcast, where we share all sorts of information and biohacking truths with you with no BS. I am here today with my dear friend who is unfortunately halfway around the world, and so I can't hug her every day like I'd like to. My dear, dear friend, Megha Gupta, welcome to the Optimize We podcast.
Thank you so much, Lindsay. Namaste, and thank you so much.
Now, we met over a year and a half ago when we were both speaking on stage at Gaia, which was such a blessing to watch you share your story. And I wanted to just ask you, you know, what does it mean to share your story with the world?
I think it's essentially really important for me to let everybody know that nothing can stop them. You know, people love to play victims in their life, especially diabetics, and even more especially type 1 diabetics. I'm here to tell them that no, don't let anything stop you. Don't let any report stop you, a medical report. Don't let any doctor stop you. Don't let anybody tell you that you can't do this. And so it's very essential for me to put my story out there because I don't let anybody tell me what I can do and I cannot do.
I love that about you. You are tenacious and fearless. When were you originally diagnosed as a type 1 diabetic?
That was about 9 years ago.
And you were in your 20s?
I am 40 now. I was about 32, 33 then.
Wow.
Yeah.
And was it a big shock to you? Had you already felt like there was something going on in your health?
It was a big shock to me, Lindsay. It was such a big shock to me and my mother both. We lost my father around the same time. And my parents are my favorite love story. They're so adorable together. And my mother got diagnosed with breast cancer stage 2 within weeks of him passing, which was also very sudden. Him passing was very sudden. The way I think of it, I think it took a big toll on us as a unit, as a family. I had to deal with a lot of things and I had to put my emotions and my grief processing on the back burner. And I had no knowledge then what it means to process grief, what it means to, you know, have a regulated nervous system, etc., etc. And I just was taking care of so many things that within a year of my father passing and my mother getting diagnosed with breast cancer stage 2, I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. Nobody in our family has diabetes. Now, India is, unfortunately, the diabetic capital of the world. And ours is a rare family that there's absolutely no diabetic in the family. There would either be an aunt or an uncle from your mother's side or your father's side. But in my case, there was just absolutely nobody, which basically made me understand that mine was stress-induced. My pancreas gave up on me. Initially, when we got tested, my blood glucose was 367, and my mother thought the machine wasn't working, and so we went to another path lab and checked again, and that's when there was silence. And when we tested my HbA1c, I was at a staggering 17.8%. And so all of it was such a huge shock. We were stunned. I remember coming home and opening my laptop and going like, okay, what is diabetes? Because I wasn't into health and wellness. I was an actor in Mumbai, and I was very unaware of what health and wellness is. I was working out, I was drinking smoothies, but the awareness that we have now, I had absolutely none of it. So yeah, it was a huge shock.
Now, you mentioned that you were working as an actress. So similarly to my story, you know, I had an autoimmune reaction to a significant amount of stress at the height of my career. You were also at the height of your career, right? You were working a lot during that time.
I was. Yes, I was. Yeah. But after my father passed, I immediately took a break because I couldn't, like, my parents were living in Muscat in Oman. And so we had to kind of go back and, you know, get their bags packed, sell the car, do all of those things. So I could not afford to work anymore at that point. So I wasn't working after, I mean, a few months before I got diagnosed, I wasn't working.
Wow. Yeah, it really does take a toll when you lose a loved one so suddenly. And then your mom fought through it, but I'm sure it was very scary throughout the process, right?
It was very scary. Oh, yes. I'll tell you a small story. So in India, we have this thing called the Karwa Chauth. It's basically where the wives fast for an entire day for the long life of their husbands. It's a custom. It's a ritual that we have here. It's once a year. And the wives don't even drink water. So immediately after my father's passing, I had to fly to the US for work. And I did not want to leave. And she was like, no, go do your thing. I called her one day and she was like, today's Karwa Chauth and I'm not fasting. And that's because, like, my father was not there anymore. And so she was not fasting that day. And she was used to fasting 36 years of her life every single day. It's a very big day for married women here in India, Karwa Chauth. So little things, you know, and then there was a silence on the phone because we both didn't know what to say because, I mean, things, small things add up and they hurt and they just change your life very drastically, but very slowly.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, that's beautiful. When is that day?
It's actually based on the moon cycle. So every year the date is different.
Every day of the day. Well, you have to let me know.
Oh.
next week I'm getting married, so maybe I will, next year or this year, I will fast for my husband.
My God, Minzy, that is so beautiful. I love how open you are as a person to so many things. I was just telling you just before this conversation, I was telling you in another conversation, it amazes me how you handle so many things so seamlessly and so gracefully, and you being open to Karwa Chauth is an example of that. So yeah, for sure, I'll tell you about the tape.
Yes, definitely let me know. And I appreciate that compliment. But it's true of all of us that sometimes we get hit with everything at once. And it sounds like that happened to you about 9 years ago. Everything piles on and you have a choice. You kind of come to a crossroad, right? You can either choose to fall apart and to break down and to handle things with anger and fear, or you can lean into the pain and ask God for what the lesson is and do your best to get through it. My mom always tells me to just handle the work of the day. Don't borrow problems from tomorrow. And I think that that's something that everybody needs to live by, especially, you know, when you're going through the real shit, the real crappy stuff. You know, it's a blessing to have that perspective now. It's not something that you work towards, but once you get through it and you can look back, it's like looking in the rearview mirror. You know, you're not driving forward in your life looking in the rearview entirely, but it's good to check back and say, oh my gosh, I did that. I accomplished that.
Yeah.
And you've accomplished so much in your life. You've not only taken responsibility for your physical state and your physical health, but also your emotional state and your emotional health. So tell me how'd you learn about biohacking?
Lindsay, I have to say your mom is really wise to say just tackle the day and don't borrow problems for the next day. Everything will take care of itself when you're just like one step at a time, like just one step ahead of the next is the way to go sometimes. And I remember my mom saying this to me when we were in the middle of the storm. She was like, if you're getting raped, might as well sit back and enjoy it. And it's such a crude, painful thing to say because we were literally getting screwed. And she was like, might as well sit back and just like go through the shitstorm, you know. And for her to say that must have been so hard, but she was like, it's happening, I just have to put my head down and get this over and done with, because we had to wind up their house in Muscat where they lived for 20 years. go through his papers and everything. So yeah, that reminds me of that. How to answer your question, how did I learn about biohacking? Oh, well, Vishal mentioned the word biohacking and it caught my attention about 6-7 years ago. And I was like, what is this? And it sounds like, the whole bio thing sounded very, that was my thing that pulled me. Because before that, I'd met a few doctors. I had gone through the whole medical system. I had tried not to take insulin. A doctor here in India told me, forget driving a car now. You can die anytime.
What?
And yeah, it's, I mean, see, that's why I need to put my story out there. Because any woman who's hearing this or anybody tells you stop driving a car because you're a type 1 diabetic and you might die any time because of a hypoglycemia and you can be a threat to others on the road. This is BS.
Yeah.
How dare he say that to me? My father taught my elder sister and me how to drive and how to swim as soon as we were physically able to. Because, and as a girl, you will relate, he said, girls should not depend on life-saving skills on anybody.
Right.
So he made sure that we knew how to drive and swim as soon as we were physically able to. And so this doctor telling me stop driving was almost like he was taking my birthright away from me. And I'd also lost my father. So it's something I cherish, the fact that he taught me how to drive. So the minute he said that, the first thing I did was take out my SUV and drive from Bombay to Goa all alone. And that's a good 14-hour journey. And I was like, I'm going to show this guy. And I stayed in Goa for 10 days. I started looking for homes because by then I pretty much decided I'm moving to Goa. And I drove back alone. And I wanted to go and tell him, you've said this to me, but don't ever say this to anybody because you might be taking away something from them which they'll never get back. When a well-wisher told me about biohacking, the word bio caught my attention because it didn't sound chemicals, like, of course, there's that involved as well, but it's hacking the biology of your body, right? And I started researching about it and it told me that come back to your body and come back to nature. Use all of these elements that are available to you. Of course, I take insulin every day, but I have brought down my HbA1c from 17.8 to 5.8 on my own without, any doctor on board at this moment. I don't have a diabetologist or an endocrinologist on board. And I do my own hacks, our protocols. That there's some amount of insulin that I have to still take daily because I am a type 1. It's an autoimmune. Yeah, so somebody introduced me to biohacking and I started doing the cold plunges, the sauna, the grounding, journaling. I literally just changed my life, changed my routine.
It's not an easy thing to do. A lot of people come on the show and I always ask them what's your favorite biohack? And typically the answer is something emotional, actually. It's about being grounded or having a good solid morning routine that starts the day with sunlight or prayer or something like that. But when you are sick, it's really hard to have that emotional stability so that you can also function physically and change your physical routine. So what did that look like for you? How quickly did that happen? And what did you incorporate first? What did you do?
The first thing that's coming to my mind is going on a carnivore nutrition plan. Because as someone who's used to working out, someone who is heavily into lifting heavy, into CrossFit, into a lot of yoga, I was doing a lot of things with my body. That doesn't sound right, but I was doing a lot of movement with my body. And to not be able to do that, because every time I did a good CrossFit workout, my glucose would just shoot up. I would vomit with all of that sugar in my blood. So when I went carnivore, I started putting muscle back on. I was able to have a meal and say, okay, this makes me feel full and it's not, skyrocketing my blood glucose and I'm not doing those yo-yos. So the first thing that my body welcomed very happily was going on an animal-based diet. Then, of course, there were these other things, but I want to say one thing over here. People find it hard to adjust to these things, which basically means they're so away from their own body and nature. They're so detached from what actually we are meant to do and be and how we're supposed to live. So when you bring them to these things, they face so much resistance because they're so away from it. But the minute you start coming close to it, it feels like this is how you were always meant to live. For me, grounding was another very important zero investment no cost biohack. Like even now, every time I'm feeling anxious, and we all do, you know, at this point, there's so much stimulus. We all do. I mean, anybody who says they don't get anxious is a superhuman. But like, that's the first thing. Like if I'm feeling anxious about, you know, the storm that I have to give or anything at all, like just being bare feet, even on my talks, like all of my talks on all stages, I'm always wearing a sari and I'm barefoot. Like I'm because I want to be connected to the ground as I'm talking to these hundreds of people. So these two things that I would swear by.
It's interesting because I noticed that when you were on stage at Gaia, you had a beautiful purple sari on. And then I looked down at your feet and I was like, I thought she was taller. No, she's not wearing any shoes. And I meant to ask you about that because during that time, you had been traveling a lot and you were working a lot and you were very run down when I first met you because no one can be perfect, like you were saying, right? Like every day you wake up and it's different. It could be pouring rain outside. You know, you could have had a stressful, you know, evening the night before. You could wake up with your period. Every day is different. So how do you manage those days when you're just shot? You're totally run down.
At that point, you're so right, Lindsay. Like, yeah, I was traveling a lot. I was flying in and out of the US. I was giving these talks. And no matter how much you biohack your jet lag, you're still going completely against the circadian rhythm. And which is why at this point, I'm planted more in India because I'm like, I now need to take care of myself and my country and myself. There's so many things. So like as like we women are also cyclic, right? I mean, men can wake up and behave the same every single day. So I actually function totally according to my cycle. Okay. My workouts, my nutrition plan, the activities I do are based on my cycle. The meetings, like if I have a pitch to make, I would do it in my ovulation. The one thing that would completely jolt me, I don't know, maybe an ice bath, but then I wouldn't do it in my luteal and my menstrual phase. The one thing that usually works for me when I'm feeling out of it is just alone time. Like I recharge by being alone, by being with my own energy, by calling my energy back to myself. A lot of people recharge by being with other people. I don't know those people. I don't want to know those people. But for me, just being with myself, being with my just my own energy, maybe a good cup of joe, like just silence. Yeah. Of course, if there are added benefits like the candle and a journal and all of those things is even better.
Yeah.
But just being alone and bringing my energy back to myself is how I come back to everything.
I do the same thing, but I have a house full of people, so it's hard to be alone and, you know, have all these daughters to take care of. But they see my practice, and now as they enter their womanhood and their phases of life, it's important for me to show them, you know, that's what parenthood is. It's just leading by example. And it's what you do as a speaker, as an entrepreneur, as an actress, as someone who has, you know, a huge following. You know, you don't have daughters, but you have a whole network of women that are looking to you for what is Mega doing? You know, how is she navigating the ups and downs of, you know, four different basically phases throughout each month? I love to take an Epsom salt bath when I'm feeling really, and I think it's partially the magnesium, partially the alone time. You know, I don't have my phone on me typically. You know, I just kind of sit there and soak. And my fiance calls it like it's like the time warp. I go up there and I come out an hour later and I think I've only been up there for 5 to 10 minutes. It's amazing how there's so much noise in the world right now. Taking space and time to just be quiet is like a luxury.
Yeah.
Kind of hard to do sometimes, even if you're, you know, single. There's so much work to be done. There's so many people to get back to. There's so many things to get done for your house or, you know, do your laundry or get your car oil changed or whatever it is that you need to do. And sometimes you just need to press the pause button.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. I mean, being single and being with somebody both are bittersweet. When you're single, you really have so much more time to take care of yourself and really be present for so many things that you're showing up for. But being with a partner is also beautiful because by the end of the day, you have somebody to share life with, to do life with. So both of them have, they are like, you spoke about, you know, changing the oil in the car. And every time I do it, I'm like, ah, this is not really my job.
It's a man's job.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's true. And like, hats off to you with the girls. I know that you manage everything so beautifully. I keep saying it and I will not stop saying it, even if my ancestors ask me to stop, because I can't get over how beautifully, you know, you're able to go through life with whatever happens. There's just so much grace. So you're right, like every day is an attempt to just do our best. But lately, I don't beat myself up for, you know, if I'm not able to complete my protocols or anything, because on any given day, they're anyway not the same. In your luteal phase, you will be operating differently and doing different protocols as opposed to your ovulation phase. So I see a lot of new people coming into the scene and being very excited about so many things and wearing 3 wearables and gadgets and like talking about how exciting it is. And I'm like, it's good, but it should not, you know, rule you. It should not overcome you in a way that you've forgotten to be in touch with, you know, to be in the present and in touch with what actually life is about.
It's great because that's all free. All of the things you're talking about, the, you know, going outside and grounding, being quiet, like turning off your devices, that's all free. And I know that in India, it's the health systems are very different from what we have access to in the United States. But with biohacking, there's so many things that you can do anywhere, right? You don't have to have proximity or access. You know, maybe obviously if you wanted to do like PEMF or red light or something like that. But you were talking about cold plunging during the 2 open phases of your month. And that is a great way to immediately shift your energy.
Yes. Oh, yes. I swear by it. That's why I said that would be one, but I wouldn't do that in my luteal and my menstrual phase. But that's one thing that is a sure shot way of making you feel better. You can feel it on your skin, in your body. You can feel if you have a little bloating, you can feel that going away. You can feel like also like it's this fact that you got something very hard accomplished, right? Like you got that done. So it makes you feel like, okay, now I can do anything. Yeah. So yeah, cold plunging is something like I did it this morning. I will be doing it tomorrow morning. Now I'm in my follicular. So it's something I swear by.
I love it. And then you also mentioned changing your diet as like one of the first things that you did. When I met you, I had you do the finger prick test to tell us what foods were inflaming you. What did you think about that test? And did you find it to be helpful?
100%. I loved it. I remember the tests coming in and it said that I should be avoiding eggs. And we had a conversation about it. And I was like, Lindsay, how am I going to avoid eggs? Because eggs are something which, you know, when you're traveling, you're on the go, they're just convenient. You get them everywhere. But we both decided, let's do it and let's see how that goes. And we did. And I actually felt this shift in my body, like such a good one. I could not believe that eliminating eggs, like, I did not know I was bloating. I was bloated. The bloating went away. I felt stronger. I felt like my body had this heat, which kind of went away. So who knew? And I'd been eating eggs my entire life. So yeah, that was a very big shift. It's just that small thing, but it moved the needle very drastically.
Yeah, small hinges swing the big door. Positive change.
Yes, small hinges for the win.
Still small hinges for the win. And it's not the same for everybody. You know, I never had eggs on my test, but I had bananas. And one thing that I was doing every morning was drinking a smoothie with bananas. And like instantly I would look 3 months pregnant after having my smoothie. And I never knew what it was because I put so much stuff in there between the pea protein and the coconut milk or whatever milk I was using. And I was eating a lot of vegetables and fruit back then. So it was hard to tell which one was actually bloating me. But after a certain amount of time, you can reintegrate the foods back into your diet. And I think you've reintegrated eggs just not like 6 eggs a day like you were eating before.
Yeah, I have reintroduced them. I have cut down the quantity, and I also don't have them in peak summer now. Like, it's the monsoon over here. The weather's quite nice. It's about a good 23 to 25 degrees. So I am doing eggs. And in India, in Ayurveda, so your body is made of three compositions: air, water, fire. Fire is Pitta, air is Vayu, and water is... So, not Apana, there's another word for it. So, you should actually have your meal when your digestive juices are the highest, and that's when the sun is right on top. So, your biggest meal of the day should actually be in the afternoon. And so, if I have to have eggs, I have them like towards the morning, not towards the evening, and I've cut down the quantity. So, I've had to reintroduce them because like eggs are just convenient. When I'm traveling, I don't want to eat the breads that are being offered and eggs are just convenient. So I had to, but I've definitely cut down the quantity and the timing of it.
Yeah, eggs are a complete protein. They are very high in a lot of essential amino acids and omega threes and sixes. So, I mean, eggs are a great thing to keep and reincorporate. But what this test tests for is just if you're overdoing it. If your body is not clearing the reaction, then you need to take a step back, remove the foods, let your body clear that reaction, get rid of that inflammation, and then you can reintegrate those foods back into your diet. Unfortunately, yeah. I've never been able to reintegrate bananas. I had, I think, a half of a banana a year ago, and I was like crying in pain for several hours. But I don't really miss bananas, and the, you know, it's a lot of sugar in bananas too, yeah. And get potassium from other foods. Moving out of this diet that you have moved into, so when you're traveling, you it's hard to stick to a diabetic's diet, right? Like, you really shouldn't have that many carbs because they immediately convert into sugar in your body. But you were talking about exercising too. So when you were exercising, your blood glucose levels were going way up because you already had that sugar in your blood. Can you explain that a little bit more for the people out there that don't understand like how a diabetic has to eat and manage your exercise?
Yeah, actually, when I was not diagnosed, but I was sitting with an HbA1c of 17.8, but I was not diagnosed and I was going in for heavy HIITs, high intensity interval trainings in CrossFit. So that was basically breaking down the glucose in my body and bringing it back in the bloodstream. My system could not handle that much glucose in the bloodstream, and so I was throwing up. It was making me very uncomfortable. And after that is when I realized that, okay, I need to stop HIITs. And that's when I actually got introduced to the world of yoga. And so movement for me has also changed over the years because of diabetes. I still do my HIITs every once in a while. I love them. I love the energy it gives me and the pump it gives me. And now I know how to manage it better. I know what to do before and after it. I would have just a little bit of carbs so that after my workout, like after the HIIT, my glucose kind of remains stable, because if I don't have those carbs, I do go in for a crash because I've worked out that much. In terms of diabetes and nutrition, and if you ask about travel, I carry my eggs with me. Not my eggs. I carry eggs with me. I carry bacon with me because it doesn't get spoiled. I make my own protein bars, which is protein powder and like collagen and a couple of nuts and seeds, some salt, all of those things, protein powder. And I make those, you know, protein bars, and I carry them with me. And I also understand that when I'm on the go, I am not going to get what I want. And so I experiment with food. I have some carbs. I also check which phase I'm in. If I'm in my luteal and my menstrual, then I eat those carbs, you know, of course, in control. But if I'm in my ovulation and my follicular, then I make sure that I'm carrying enough food and I'm really going at it with protein and fat. I carry butter. I carry mayonnaise, you know. I do these things. I don't mind. I have ghee. I don't know. Do you like ghee?
I love ghee. I actually used to have popcorn the other day.
Yeah. And how was that?
Nobody could tell the difference because I ran out of butter. So I used ghee instead. I melted it down. I put some rosemary in it and then just a little bit of like pink Himalayan salt and the ghee on top of popcorn. It was delicious.
Wow, that sounds delicious. So, like, ghee can like fill you up. You can actually even, Lindsay, you can apply it on your face as well. Did you know that?
Really? No, I didn't.
Yeah. It's a really good fat. Like, sometimes I wake up in the morning and I go down and I'm making my coffee and I would just like take some ghee. I would have a spoon of it. I would apply it on my face, you can do it on your body, on your hair, because it's a really good fat. You'll see the difference in your skin if you apply it every day for a week. You will see the glow on your face.
Well, your skin is glowing, and I didn't realize that you were 40. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Welcome to the 40 Club. It's
Yeah.
interesting because once you hit 40, once I hit 40, my skin got so dry. It's like so dry. I don't know, hormonal or what happened, but I'm going to start applying ghee. I'm going to slather it all over me later today, and I'll send you a picture.
Yeah. Yeah, just have fun with it. Like any time of the day, any part of your body, your cracked feet, cracked heels on your feet, if your hands are feeling dry, just anything. It's so good. It's multi-purpose. You can eat it, you can apply it. Like, I love ghee. So I carry like a small bottle of ghee with me. And if I'm hungry, I just like eat spoons of ghee. So that's really good for you.
Wow, that's amazing. And having those high fats are really important, but ghee, especially because it's clarified, it doesn't
Yeah.
have all the other stuff that's in it. And it solidifies, so you can take a real spoonful of it and you can carry it around with you in your bag. I'm gonna start carrying ghee with me and
Yeah.
see how it works. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I love that tech.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
thinking about like the biohacking world, there's so much stuff that's out there. So much stuff. And you have been a voice in the biohacking world for the last several years. You've spoken on stage, you've talked about the things that you've done. Well, how do you feel about all of the things that are popping up these days and all the different companies and solutions and technologies?
When I started going in and out of the US for these talks, I was obviously meeting a lot of people who were on stage giving talks and people who had brands and really good brands and doing very well. It was very exciting at that point. I picked up a lot of things. I have a lot of things at home, which I use as well. I'm not against them. At the same time, I slowly realized these things are things you used if you don't have nature available to you or if you're not caring for your body in the way you must. Light therapy, like PEMF mats, grounding, the sun, like it's actually everything is available to you. So if you use it the right way, you might not have to invest in these gadgets. I'm not against any of these. Like, I love using the Whoop watch. I have used the Oura ring. If technology is available to us and makes our life better, by all means, we must do it. But let us not get lost in the fact that we need to have these things in order to function well.
Right.
If you get consumed by it is when there is a problem.
Right. Yeah, when you get like
So,
addicted to it, like
yeah.
I have to do this and or else I just don't feel like myself anymore. It means
Yeah.
you're not doing other things, right?
Yeah.
And it probably means that you're ignoring either your food or grounding or getting outside and getting sunlight or some
Yeah.
sort of emotional disturbance is happening. When you feel like you have to have certain things in order to function, right?
I think the best way to go about things would be do experiential and intuitive eating. So when or intuitive and experiential living by just eating. Just go with your intuition and your experience. See what works for you, what doesn't work for you. Don't get lost in like what the world is doing because nobody is you. Nobody has your body, nobody has your mind. And so you need to be very mindful of what you put in your system. And so now I'm not consumed by it. There are some things I still use and swear by it. But largely, I know there's a lot happening in the world, and I do feel FOMO sometimes with all these conferences going on and me not being able to attend them. And I know that every time you go to one of these, like you meet great people like yourself and you learn so much. At the same time, at this point, like I'm very happy with what I'm doing with my country because India is a hugely populated country and we are the diabetic capital of the world. And so we still have some time till we get to, what the US and the Western world is doing. So right now, our job is to still educate them and bring them along. So there's still time. So I think I'm in a very sweet spot.
You are in a very sweet spot and you are very wise. And you know, wisdom is the combination of experience and knowledge. And you're sharing your experience and your knowledge with a very large country that is in dire need of that wisdom. So I'm very proud of you, and I'm very proud to be your friend. And I 1,000% agree with you. It's actually one of the reasons why I created the Biohacking Index, because there's not a whole lot of efficacy around what these tools should be used for, or how often they should be used, because at the highest level, like at the doctor level, right, they're not even educated on what these things are. So I've been working really hard to get doctors in the United States and functional medicine practices and wellness centers and clinic owners and that kind of thing all educated on what are the best solutions for their patients, helping them integrate them into the practices, but really sharing this data. So I have the Biohacking Index, which actually indexes all of these different PEMF devices or hyperbaric oxygen therapy chambers or red light beds or, you know, whatever, supplements, functional foods that they could potentially prescribe to their patients. But in the United States, there's such a great divide. It's either like FDA approved or woo-woo. And so there's a lot of ground to make up in the middle. And that's what I'm hoping to make up and bring a level of efficacy and then help these brands that are really doing amazing things to help people heal, especially when you have like an acute illness or you're injured or, you know, if you have a concussion or something. You should be using a hyperbaric oxygen, you know, chamber to help repair your cells at the deepest level. You should be looking into stem cells or exosomes, which are the precursor to stem cells, if you have some sort of injury or you're coming off of surgery. If you have autoimmune conditions, like there's so much research around red light therapy, sauna, detoxification, because when your body is attacking itself, your body can't actually do the function of detoxing, right? So there's so many different things that are out there, and it's a wild world, but it's great that you're focused on helping people manage their diabetes. And you have type 1. So many people in India have type 2 diabetes, and that's reversible, right? You can reverse type 2 diabetes.
100%. You can reverse type 2 diabetes. And like, so when people come to me with type 2, I'm like, and when they take metformin or insulin, I'm like, you don't need to, like, you know, let's go the natural way. Like, let's work a little hard. Like, let's not take the easy way out. And there are all sorts of people. Some people want to do the hard work, and some people are like, you know, I'm fine. Like, this is the way I'm operating, and it's working for me, and it's okay. So it's very individual, but I keep doing my best. And actually, people have great results with, you know, just making some changes, because small changes can really snowball into such big effects, and they don't know that. So the minute they know that and they start seeing results is when they're like, okay, yeah, let's continue doing this.
You're also teaching them how to be advocates in their own health. Like, when we first started this conversation, the first thing you said was, don't let anybody tell you what you can and cannot do. And when that doctor told you you shouldn't drive anymore, when the doctors told you you had to take this much insulin or you're going to be really sick, or you don't have to just take their word at face value. You don't have to just say, okay, doc, I'm going to stop driving now. I'm going to change my whole entire life. No, you're a bio-individual, and you know yourself better than anybody else does. And so I see that that's a huge part of how you're working with people. Now, are you working with people as a health coach now?
As a health coach, I think with me, I am not a biologist. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a doctor. I always say, like, people come to me, I think, only because they like to know what I went through and to find hope, you know? It's such a beautiful feeling when all they want to do is talk, because eventually all of these things, even our autoimmune, for that matter, it boils down to some emotions that were not attended to. Somewhere we felt unheard and unseen, which is why our organ kind of shut down. In type 1, it's the pancreas, or our body started attacking our own body. It's so, there's such a, there's a different angle to it. And so I'm always very clear that I will obviously see your reports so that we can, you know, get better where they are concerned. But I'm not a doctor. I'm here to just give you the push that you need. And sometimes all people want is that push. And all they want, I've seen, is to be seen and heard. And so I'm very clear about what I'm here for. I never meant to be in this line. I got diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. And so now I just want to help people. And I think I'm lucky because, like, I've been able to mix my passion into my work. And I mean, it's a good place to be in. You would agree, you know, when you're able to help people and that is your work. We are lucky people because we get to be able to help the world. And that's our work. We don't have to go for a 9-to-5 job, which we don't like.
It's so true. We were just talking about that last night because I had my wedding dress altered. And I went to go pick it up yesterday and try it on with these new shoes that I bought. And the tailor said, I had to stay here overnight to work on your dress. And I felt so bad because I waited till the last minute. I didn't know which dress I was going to wear because this is just a small wedding with just our immediate family. We are planning to do a bigger wedding next year with all of our friends and everybody, which you should come to.
You should keep it in India. Yeah, because you need to come here. You would love this place.
I would love to do that. And the tailor was saying, you know, don't feel bad. This is my passion. This is what I love to do. And I wanted to make sure your dress was perfect for you before you came and tried it on, because I know you don't have a lot of time. I only have a few more days before I'm getting married. I said, well, but no, it's my fault. And he said, no, but I love it. I love it. He goes, I don't think I would want to do anything else. And he's been doing this for 40 years.
Wow. Oh my God. That's real passion right there.
Mm-hmm. And think about how hard that work is. You know, there's no AI that can help him, really, I don't think. His internet was down because we've had some really bad storms here. His air conditioning was working, thank God, because it's summertime in New York. But just think about, like, how there so many people complain, like, oh, my job is so hard and blah, blah, blah. But you have so many resources. When you're a tailor or you're working one-on-one with a client, you know, you don't have a whole lot of resources outside of maybe diagnostics, and you look at their reports, but it's really about that connection with the person.
Yeah.
And wanting to help them.
Yes, that actually means a lot to me. Like, for me, to just make them feel better, like, every time they get off the session, they should feel better about themselves.
Yeah.
So you call it therapy, you call it like a health coach, call it anything. I don't know what I can call it. I've not given it a name. I'm just happy to help. I'm just happy to tell you that you can do it, and don't let anybody tell you that you can't, because I've been living my life and doing everything that I can. I have been doing everything, all adventures, everything. I'm not going to let type 1 diabetes stop me from anything. I go to the gym almost every day. I eat my protein. Of course, it's never 120 grams. It's hard work. You would agree. But
yes.
I do my best, and I don't let this stop me from anything. I am in the mood to climb Kilimanjaro, Mount Kilimanjaro next year. Ooh. And I've been doing some R&D about it, and your insulin kind of freezes at that temperature. So I'm like, okay, let's see what to do. But yeah, next year in October, I'd like to do Mount Kilimanjaro. And there are type 1 diabetics who've done it.
That sounds amazing. I would love to do that someday.
Let's do it together.
Let's do it. I know.
Let's do it. I'm serious.
I know. I just don't know how. I'm trying to think. I'm like, okay, who can watch the kids? We'll figure it out. Everything's figure outable. If you can figure out how to unfreeze your insulin, I can figure out how to get away from my kids for a month or so.
Yeah.
How long does it take to climb Mount Kilimanjaro?
It's going to be a door-to-door, like a whole 7-8 day thing.
Okay.
But you'll have to get in there a day or two earlier to kind of acclimatize and everything. So, yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm in. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Okay. I love it.
We'll speak about this. I'm really excited.
Now, how else can people reach out to you? So you have a huge following on Instagram. That may not be the best way to, like, DM you, or is that the best way to reach you?
I'll send you the name of the website. It's megabukta.me. And if they have to email me, that's megha@meghagupta.me. So these two places would work best.
Okay, so just go to megagupta.me or
Yes.
your email is mega@megagupta.me. Okay, that's perfect. Now, when you are working, because you're still working as an actress, right?
Not really. I mean, I would have to fly to Bombay for that. And as much as possible, I'm really enjoying what I'm doing. So I don't feel the need to like go to Bombay, do my shooting, and come back. At this point, it's a no, but at some point, maybe it'll be a yes.
Okay, I love that. Because you were speaking on stage, you were doing some projects, some acting, actress projects, and I love that you're just focusing on your health and helping other people with their health. That's so beautiful. I'm so happy for you. I'm so excited,
Thank
and I'm
you.
so proud of you. And thank you so much for sharing your story, your passion, all of your tips. And I am going to really sit down. And hopefully, with your guidance, I can map out for my daughters what their like monthly routine could be so that they could optimize their health starting at, 14 years old.
Yeah, I'd love that. Though, Lindsay, it's so kind of you to say this. You don't need my guidance. You are pro max. You are right up there in my books. How, I mean, yeah, like you don't need my guidance. You get so much done and you have so much knowledge and information. I think there's no comparison, but I feel like you don't need my help. But yeah, of course, I'm always there.
Well, sometimes kids like to hear it from somebody else, not their mother. So maybe we can have a little WhatsApp FaceTime with them
Yeah, for
one
sure.
day.
Yes, I'd love that.
That would be
Yes.
really fun. Is it they can see that somebody else has done it and you went through a whole lot more than they've been through in their lives so far, and you give so much hope to so many women and men who are out there who have type 1 diabetes and type 2 diabetes, because you're right, it is, you don't have to go the medical route for type 2. You can do all the natural things to alleviate a lot of the symptoms and to manage your blood sugar and boost your insulin production. So there's so many different things that you can do. And I'm just so happy that you're at the forefront doing it.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Lindsay. Talking to you is just so delightful because, like, you're just so kind and so wise and so loving. Every time I talk to you, I get a voice note from you. It just, like, leaves me with so much love.
Oh,
Thank you.
well, I love you, and I'm so grateful for your friendship and so grateful for the love that you're sharing with the world. So any way I can help amplify what you're doing, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there cheering
Thank
you
you.
on. All right,
Thank
my
you.
dear. Well,
It's
thank
great.
you.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.